What are your favorite aspect?
Nope.
What do you mean? This is the intro.
This is the intro.
Hey there. Welcome to 3Play, where three friends make a podcast about playing games, and we're just one short of a good time.
Welcome to 3Play Podcast, and today we are talking about Elden Ring. Elden Ring came out. We've been waiting for it for a long time.
Oh.
Yep. What does the character say? He's got like, hello. Or like
oh, yeah.
Tarnished.
It sounds like someone from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really? You think it sounds like Davy Jones?
Is Davy Jones not? I don't.
Oh no, Barbossa.
Yes,
Barbossa is who you're
which is Jeff Knight.
Jeffrey Rush. Yeah,
I was thinking of Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley. Jeffrey Knightley,
the ultimate Jeffrey actor. Rush.
If you're listening, Jeffrey Rush, tweet at us, call us. We would love to have you on the show.
We really would.
I don't think you did the voice for the character in Elden Ring, but if you did, oh man, pristine work.
Before we get into Elden Ring, I do want to bring up, Elden Ring has one of the best main menu soundtracks I have ever heard in my life. When you start that game, it's like a slow build, but once it hits, you're like, this is amazing. So to kind of piggyback off that, today we're going to play a game where I play 5 seconds of a video game's main menu music. And these guys have to guess the game that it comes from. You're more than welcome to play at home. There's no confusing scoring this time. You just got to get the game. So five seconds of a main menu theme, and you've got to guess it. Any questions?
Yes. Quick question. Is one of the main menu themes that you picked Excitebike?
No,
because I would put that up there next to Elden Ring in terms of like,
I'll sing it to you.
Themes. Yeah,
it brings up a good point. I think most of the themes that I've picked today are pretty recognizable. Okay. So excellent. It's round one of this. It's our first time ever doing it, so I went pretty iconic again. And there may be Billy. I think there's one for sure you're not going to know that I think Brian will know.
Well, now I know it's a JRPG.
Yeah, see for all. There you go. All right. So, are you guys ready?
Ready. Yeah.
All right. Here it is. Main menu theme number one coming at you.
I'm playing it right now with my daughter. I listen to 1 second. I know what it is.
All right, so keep your guess. I literally
heard the first chord on the piano. I was like, all right, we're done here.
All right, we got it. All right. Well, then we won't spend any more time there. Let's jump straight into main menu theme number two.
Okay. Let me write these down.
I'm trying to read Brian's face. I feel like Brian is trying to place it. I think Billy, it took him a second, but I think he's there.
I needed the vocals.
I'm still looking at Brian's face over there. Like,
still have no idea.
All right.
Okay.
Take your guess.
Got it.
And here we go. Main menu got theme it. Three. This is my favorite one of the day.
I have it on final.
All right, that's enough. Okay. We get it.
This is the one I don't know.
Well, hold on, you gotta let me intro it, man.
I'm sorry, I'm just so jazzed. This is so good. You did such a good job.
All right, main menu theme four. Well, wait, which one do you want? Are you on three or four?
I'm on four.
Okay, four. Main menu theme four. Here it comes.
Oh well, hold on. I need to download it. click. Okay.
Okay, I definitely have this one.
I think what's going to happen is I'm not going to guess number four, right? And I think you're going to name the game and be like, oh yeah, I played some of that game.
Maybe.
I think you have played some of that game.
I actually have no idea if Billy's played any of this game or not. All right, and last but not least, main menu theme five.
Is it not, at least?
the faces. The faces are exactly what I was hoping for on this one.
Okay, I have my guesses.
How are you guys feeling? Are you feeling confident? What are you?
I got 3 out of 5.
Probably have 2, maybe 3. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Main menu theme 1, coming back. I think both of you guys are confident with this one. It sounded like this. All right, what did you guys think?
Ocarina of Time.
Yep.
That is correct. Ocarina of Time. Yes, that is correct. Main menu theme 1, I started off again, very iconic. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. And you guys did well. 1 for 1.
Excellent. Yep, we're winners. Let's just stop there.
Let's just stop there. All right, let's see if the streak will continue. All right, main menu theme 2 sounded like this. All right, Brian, your face was like this on this one.
Yeah, I mean, maybe an older Dark Souls game, Dark Souls 1.
That's not a bad guess, I think, if you're just guessing. Billy, tell them what it was.
Well, here's the problem. There's like 30 of these games now, yes, so I'm not sure which one, but I'll just go with the original Halo.
It is the original
Halo. Okay. Oh,
okay. Yeah, the original Halo. And like Billy said, if you pick Halo 2, Halo 3, all of them have some version of that in there, right? So, but I did go with the original Halo. All right, main menu theme 3. This was my personal favorite of the day. Sounded like this. All right, what'd you guys think?
It's NES Mega Man. I believe it's 2. It could just be the original.
I think it might be 3.
Oh, could be.
This is Mega Man 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Mega Man 2. Yeah, and just absolute banger of a main menu thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, Mega Man 2 is the pinnacle of old school Mega Man.
Yeah, and I saw someone say, like, comment, like, how well this theme just fits absolutely everything you're about to go through, like, with the ramped up difficulty, and just, I think that theme is just one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if you know this, I mean, I think it's a pretty commonly known fact, but in Japan, Mega Man's known as Rockman, specifically because they paid so much attention to the music in the game. So all of the characters are music themed. So you've got Rockman, Rush, like a drum rush, Roll. So you have Rock and Roll.
Bass,
yep, as a character. So they're all musically themed.
And Proto Man.
That one is not.
You guys have had those moments where something is revealed to you and you realize how simple that thing is and how like those wires just never touched. And you feel foolish. That's me right now, because I never understood why in Japanese he was known as Rockman, because I always associated it with like a rock.
Sure.
So there's me being foolish.
You just opened a whole new world for Billy. Brian.
Huh. A whole new world.
All right, here comes main menu theme number 4. Sounded like this. All right, Billy, I think you are in the dark here. Brian's got this one in the bag. Go ahead.
Secret of Mana?
Brian?
Nope. Final Fantasy IX.
That is Final Fantasy IX.
That's bullshit. Anything Final Fantasy is just like whatever. And also, it's just like, even if I guess Final Fantasy, it doesn't matter.
Well,
because there's like 18 and a half of them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That main menu specifically, when that plays, if you've played 9, people know that's 9.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a very like whimsical... I don't know what instrument that would be.
Yeah, 9 has a very different theme too to a lot of the older ones.
It's like a synthesized piccolo flute. I don't. Who cares?
It's a mountain dulcimer.
My wife plays a mountain dulcimer occasionally.
So does Jordan's wife.
She plays mountain dulcimer hero. All right, main menu theme number 5. Here it is, last one of the day. All right. I'm very excited for this because I think neither of you got it. And when I say it, it's going to break your brains. So go ahead. Let me hear what your guys' guesses were.
I'm going to guess Luigi's Mansion.
Billy, that's not a bad guess, I don't think.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Both of you are incorrect, and I'm going to tell you the game, and it's gonna make you cry, I'm pretty sure. Billy, if I played this for your wife, I bet she would immediately know it.
Is it Sims?
It is Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear it, like if you had heard the like people screaming in the background, like the Yeah, that's exactly what we got there.
Man, that's like some creepy carnival music.
It is very creepy.
Remove it from the context.
You're like, what is Conker's Bad Fur Day, right? Kind of what it sounds like.
That's excellent. Let's talk about Elden Ring. We all wish we were playing it right now.
It's true. In fact, let's just stop right here and we're going to go play it. You guys can watch us make the noises we make.
We couldn't give a better review of Elden Ring than we were going to give a review of Elden Ring, but we just want to go play Elden Ring.
Yeah, rather than this like self-satisfying like pride project we're doing right now, instead of that, instead of stoking our own egos, we would rather be playing a game.
Yeah, we go and play games in order to get a quick win, in order to stroke our own egos. Right, Jordan?
Oh, are you getting quick wins in Elden Ring? Because I have gotten no quick wins in Elden Ring.
Well, now that I have a whip, I'm getting some good quick wins.
Before Elden Ring was released, we saw universally critics 2 thumbs up.
Yep.
Like 9.5 out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Yep.
Give me, like, in a sentence or two, why you think Elden Ring has, like... What is it doing that's making it sort of like universally adored? And like, give me a sentence or two, and then we're going to like unpack everything as we go. So like, I get I'm asking you to like boil down a masterpiece to like a phrase or something.
I think that it's taking everything that it's standing on, all of the stuff, the open world, the Souls-like, the... all these different aspects that gamers enjoy and love, the exploration, like all of that, and amped it up to a level that is beyond anything we've seen before. So I don't know that they're doing, there's a few things that are kind of unique, but it's less that they've introduced unique content and more they have elevated it to a level both in detail and in scope that we have not seen before.
Sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I would also add that it is doing what it wants to do, and it is doing those things well. One of the complaints I've seen on Twitter, like, is because people are comparing, like, Horizon just got released at the exact same time, right? The Horizon sequel, and they're like, well, look at Horizon. You have all this like environmental destructibility, right? You run through the plants and the plants deform to your movements, right? So Elden Ring doesn't do that at all. You run through a plant and it's like static plant, right? You know what I mean? So it's not that they are attempting to graphically create something that's never been done, right? Don't get me wrong. The game is gorgeous.
It is.
But they are like... when they came out and set out to make Elden Ring, right, they weren't setting out to make something that was technically beyond anything that we've seen before, right? I think they were doing what Brian said. They were standing on a lot of things that have previously been made, and they were polishing it and making it just phenomenal.
I've used this phrase a couple of times. And people have said, like, why did you take Friday off of work to play a video game? Like, what is this video game? And the best way that I can sort of sum it up is if Breath of the Wild and all of the Dark Souls games had this like drunken, beautiful love child on like some sticky hot Savannah night. Like, that is Elden Ring. And I simultaneously shift between like clenching my butthole tighter than it's ever been clenched in silence to like screaming just horrifying profanities. And it's just bliss.
Here on 3Play, we think bliss is clenching your butthole and screaming profanities.
Yeah.
As horrifying as what you just said was, I also agree in some way. I understand what you're saying. And
thank you.
I think what Billy's getting at is like, here's the thing. There's no way I can talk about Elden Ring if I don't talk about Breath of the Wild. Because, and I've mentioned on this podcast before that I think Breath of the Wild is somewhat overrated in terms of where it stands historically. Right. But there's no way you can talk about Elden Ring without talking about the influence that Breath of the Wild has had on this game, along with a lot of other games.
Sure.
I think the reason I love this game so much more than Breath of the Wild is because this game was made for me, right? Breath of the Wild has to be accessible to a Nintendo audience, right? And Breath of the Wild has to be, like, somewhat kid-friendly, right? So yeah. I think the types of enemies that you see in Breath of the Wild are a little more restricted, right? It's like, oh, there's another group of Moblins over there, right? You know what I mean? Whereas this game, every time I walk into a new area, I'm just constantly like, what the hell is that? You know, every single time I walk into a new area, I'm like, I don't know whether I should be going towards that thing or running straight in the other direction. You know what I mean? Because it's just, there's so much enemy variability and so much environmental differences, like when you go from place to place, that I think it's just the next step for a Breath of the Wild type game.
Sure. So, Jordan, we're sort of jumping the gun here, but that's one of your favorite things?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just that idea of, like, this exploration, right? This ability to go anywhere I want, right? And that's something that's very, very different than previous Souls games. Brian, what do you like so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, one of the coolest things, in my opinion, is that most of the gear you see enemies wielding, you can take from them, so that's pretty fun. I'm like, I like the look of that weapon, I'm gonna sit here and grind you until I get to pick that up, and now I get it. So I'm a little weird in that I really enjoy the grind. There's kind of this like zen moment that I reach where I'm like, I know exactly what this guy does, I know how to defeat it, I've got his pattern down. I run over, smack him twice, dodge backwards, smack him twice, done.
That's your inner speedrunner coming out.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and Brian, like, Elden Ring's perfect for that, right? Like, mm-hmm. It is punishing, but wholly fair in that, like, you can sit and, like, whether it's a goblin or a super goblin boss, you can memorize these patterns. And definitely, like, leveling and skill takes a part in that.
Do you think it's punishing? To this point, I would say, in my time in Elden Ring,
sure.
And I was talking with Jake Boone, shout out Jake Boone, three play listener. I was talking to Jake about this, and he said, I feel like this game is, like, not as hard as Dark Souls 3 was. And I tend to agree. Sure. I find that the some of the challenge is not as severe as previous Souls games.
It's the, as soon as you say that, it becomes apparent to me. I think that's the inevitability of the open world formula, mm-hmm. right? That like, oh, these enemies are hard, I'm going to go somewhere else. And like, okay, I am stronger here, so I'm going to hang out here. I can fight this. Oh, I can't beat this boss. All right, I have like 89 other places I can go and try out. So that would probably be what it is that like you can't really balance an open world game like this because it's open world. You can just mm-hmm. So like if there's balance or punishment anywhere, it would be at those narrative bottlenecks. So like Margit, we've all mm-hmm. fought Margit a handful of times at least. And right, like he's punishing.
Sure.
Right, like I had to level up a ton and then went in and felt like, okay, now that I've leveled, I can memorize attack patterns and I can like dodge, hit, and actually deal damage that's like meaningful. But before that, it's just like, no, Margit's just like, get out of here. You chump change tarnished.
Now I will
say, Jordan, that might be part of it.
I will say the bottlenecks are not as bottlenecky as you might think.
Did you glitch past Margit? Did you really?
It wasn't even a glitch past. There's an intentional way past Margit.
Did you know about this, Jordan?
He told me before the podcast. But I can see Billy's mind being blown right now, and I think it's making him love the game even more.
Yes, absolutely it is. So you've gotten to Stormvale Castle.
I've gotten past it. I could probably go back up into it if I wanted to. But I haven't.
You should. I have spent a lot of time in the castle, and I imagine I have a lot more time to spend. And like
That's great. That's one of the best parts about the game, right? Is
yes.
I'm 10 hours into the game, and I feel like I haven't scratched everything the game has to offer.
The map just keeps getting bigger.
Oh my gosh.
And bigger.
Like, we've all opened treasure chests that weren't as they seemed.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Have we all...
have gone places we didn't expect.
Yes.
I don't know what that... No.
See?
The game has so much more to offer me.
Yes. How about... I don't know that Billy has done this yet. Have we all...
Never have I ever. Let's go. Never have I ever Elden Ring.
Have we all... I don't know how to say this without giving something away.
Then I wouldn't say it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's enough to talk about.
But there's a whole nother level that is going to blow your guys' mind to the size of this world.
Oh, that's right. You and Boone did stuff that you're like, we can't talk to you about it.
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to know yet. I'm so afraid. Okay, anyway.
Let's talk about some least favorite aspects. Right, listen, we could gush about this game. My
if
wife
it's not
knows.
Clear, if it's not
my
clear, all three of us love this game. And yes. I think this is a good time to bring this up, that Metacritic scores are in the tank for user reviews. Like, the highest Metacritic score is on PS5, and it's like 7.7. And I think most of that is because of technical issues, right? Because technical issues with the game. If you play this game and you think it's a 7.7, you go to hell. I'm just kidding.
Stick by that, Jordan. Stick by that. That is true.
Like, no.
On some level, no. On some level, like, I get frustration at, like, we've all had problems with, like, PC stuff, right? And, like, Brian and you were talking
when
about
I first
this before
started
the
playing
game
the
even
game,
came out.
It crashed a couple times.
Yep, so, like, I get it. Like, people are frustrated, but I don't, like, and there's not really a better way of doing it, right? Like, I don't like the idea of, like, tanking reviews because a game's having some, like, technical difficulties, but, like, I also get, like, hey, you need to communicate to the developers, like, we're not satisfied with this, and I guess this is the best way for users to do it.
And Billy, I know you and I have had this conversation a couple of times, but... just my high level is, with any PC release, the amount of difference in hardware, the amount of difference in software, in drivers, it adds this level of complication to creating a game on PC that is never going to go away, and you will always have problems at release. There is no way around it. Now, there is a question of degrees. And I would say that, you know, there are some games that have really bad problems that probably could have been prevented. And there are some games that have normal release issues. I would say this is normal release issues.
Yeah.
You know, incompatibility with some odd computer setups or custom builds or whatever. That makes sense to me and is going to get patched out in a couple of patches. Like, it's normal stuff.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I guess I just don't understand users. I side with the critics.
Well, I think it's a remnant from, like, the days of, you know, SNES. You plug in a cartridge and it works. And there's no consoles have the exact same specs on hardware. All of them.
Yep.
And when you're doing quality assurance on a game on a console, it's a lot easier to make sure that there aren't those issues. And so when on release day for those things, then there's not that problem.
Also the scope between Mega Man 2 and Elden Ring is just vastly different for quality assurance.
Which has the better main menu theme, though?
Mega Man 2.
I'd probably side with Mega Man 2.
Yeah.
It's hard not to.
Like, that's a song I'll pick out forever. In 10 years, I don't know that I pick out the Elden Ring main theme.
Well,
not to say that it doesn't...
In 10 years, when we're on 3-play and we're on main menu theme round...
27,
yeah, whatever it is, and Elden Ring pops in there. We'll see.
Okay, so wait, we're talking about least favorite aspects, or just Jordan? Was your point technical glitches?
What? No, so, like least favorite aspects for me. I mean, I guess it's kind of a technical glitch. Was I think From Software always has multiplayer, and I think From Software's multiplayer is always clunky.
Yeah.
I have not played a From Software game where I'm happy with the multiplayer aspects.
Where you're like, hey, this is intuitive.
Or even like, hey, this is like fun. honestly, when you think about Dark Souls games and like invading other people's worlds, it sounds really cool at the start. But then it's like I put down my sign and I have to wait until.
Or I like use an item up and it says it failed.
Yeah,
or...
exactly. And then it's just like. I'd almost rather be waiting in like a Call of Duty lobby, you know what I mean? With the screen, with the timer going, like saying searching for a match, because it's like you put down your, where you use the item or whatever it is, and then you're just sitting there waiting, like, wait, when do I get to have fun? You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I think for me, however many, you know, they've made so many games at this point, like, if they're going to do multiplayer, they got to figure out a better way to do it. Yeah, personally.
I'd agree.
And I even think in Elden Ring specifically, I think one of the things we encountered when we were trying to play together, it's like, we can't go in this cave because Brian hasn't gone in and hit Y on the statue that lets us go into this cave.
That's not entirely accurate. So what's not to say that what they've done is right, but for multiplayer, when you join, your objective as a joiner is
to beat the area boss, right?
Defeat the area boss. So whatever area you're summoned in, you just need to beat the boss, and that's, woohoo, you win.
But why? Why?
Yeah. Right, like if you offer me a multiplayer, and I want to play multiplayer with my friends... I want to connect with them one time and tell you, these are my friends and I want to play with them for as long as I want to play.
Yep. And if we die, if we happen to all get slaughtered, I would like to start again with my friends.
Yes.
So we can all, so we don't have to, okay, put your sign down again. Like, it's just clunky and it's unnecessary. That is by far my least favorite part of the game. And it just feels like, it doesn't ruin the game because the game itself is great, you know, just playing and exploring and having this experience, but it's definitely, I'm not going to say it's a disappointment, but it is like what I expect from Software multiplayer, right? And it's just not up to par for something I would like to play multiplayer.
Here's the thing though, if I can fix one thing about multiplayer, I just want me and my buddies to be able to ride our horses together.
That'd also be great.
Like, that's all I want. I don't, like...
Yeah, but...
If I'm picking...
But I can't ride my horse into another area.
Shame. Brian, least favorite thing?
Definitely. So the game is clearly optimized for console. Clearly. Everything in the game is 100%... this is a console menu. Every time. And I don't mind that as long as they do a good job of allowing me to customize the controls on the keyboard how I want to. And they really did a bad job of that. All they did was they said, all right, for key bindings on the keyboard, all I'm doing is I'm essentially remapping buttons from a controller onto the keyboard, which is not at all how PC gamers who use keyboard do things. So, like,
I'm naive. I am naive. How do PC gamers do
things? I want to be able to set a specific item or weapon to a specific number on my number keys, right?
Sure.
Not like if I hit one, it cycles through my left hand, and if I hit two, it cycles through my right hand.
Sure.
You know, so those
How are you going to have optimized multiplayer if PC players can just hit one and use their spell?
Sure. I understand that there is that consideration, but I feel like you have a choice. Either you don't do cross-platform,
which
they didn't really want it to be. Right. If you really want it to be that. So, or you fix it so that PC gamers can set it up however they want on their PC. Like, it doesn't make sense to not do cross-platform and also not let me adjust my key bindings the way I want to.
Sure.
Go ahead, Billy. You tell us what are your least favorite things so far?
It's nothing.
it's perfect.
Let me ride my horse in multiplayer.
Yeah, From Software has given me something that I'll have for the rest of my probably short life. what complaints do I have? Multiplayer's clunky, PC release stuff that hopefully gets kind of like cleaned up with patches. I just want more of it. I just want us to finish this episode so that I can play more. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, and it's weird because this game has I feel like, Billy, you've been hyped for this game for so long, right? And I feel like hype plays a lot into your expectations for the game.
Sure.
And I think having this game meet,
I mean,
meet
yeah.
that.
Yes, because hype a big breeds deal, disappointment. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hype breeds disappointment. So, with that, I'm not disappointed. There are moments where, how can I say this? Where the game shows you things that are coming, right? It shows you things that are coming, and it's just so exciting. That's a challenge that I get to face, and I'm not ready yet, but excuse me, I know I will be.
Well, and that's sort of the point you were making about there's From Software's storytelling style, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually something they've done really, really well in this game. And I think one of my favorite moments, I'm going to throw in another favorite moment here, was clearing that first coastal cave and coming out on that island and then walking into the church and being like, oh my God. and there's just that, you know. Should I spoil
it? Yeah. All of us have seen it.
There's just that dead dragon just laying there, right? And you walk up to it, and it's like, oh, this is like a shop. What the heck? And you open the menu, and it's like, you can learn this really cool dragon spell. All it takes is one dragon heart. It's just this moment of, I'm going to have to kill a dragon.
I believe there were three spells, which means we're going to fight at least three dragons.
Maybe, but maybe you'd only get the choice of one.
Jordan, I can tell you with confidence that we will be fighting more than three dragons.
But that's the great thing, is with all the exploration I've done, I've spent 10 hours exploring this game. I haven't seen a whiff of a dragon. Well, I take that back. I've seen a whiff, but I think it's because of the environment that I've walked into. And I think From Software's style of, hey, this environment's different than the previous environment that you were in, right? That immediately gives you what happened here, right? And I think that's a really cool way to tell a story. It doesn't I don't know what happened, right? And I don't think I'll ever know exactly what happened in all these places, but I can let my mind fill in the gaps, right?
Yeah. Well, it's with horror movies, right? Horror, the monster is never as scary as what you're imagining. So, yeah. Like, leave some blank space.
Jaws, for your, right?
Yeah.
Jaws is one of the most famous horror movies ever, and it's because they don't show the shark for the first, two-thirds of the movie.
I thought you were talking about that villain from James Bond.
Yes, Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Classic horror villain, Jaws.
I didn't really get it. I was just kind of nodding along.
Yeah.
So, like, least favorite, I don't, like... this is like neither a least or most favorite thing, but it's something I noticed when riding your horse and you hold the heavy attack, you kind of drag your sword down and you can hold it or club or whatever. And it drags a little bit. And when I was riding over this paved rock path, like these square tiles, The sword hits it and goes tick, 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 like it clicks. And like in the dirt, it makes a different sound, and over stone, it makes a different sound, and there's like sparks. So like, I think FromSoft's detail is in like moments like that are really centered around like your combat and your character, and you know, less like foliage being brushed aside. Sure. So like noticing that was like, wow, that's just really neat. That's just real neat.
that level of detail is impressive. And that's one thing that I will say is that each of the enemies that you fight, and there are many of them, many different types and varied, they feel unique. They feel special in some way. It's almost like they had someone go through and be like, okay, make sure that this goat has something special about them so that you could be like, that's a cool goat. Like every single thing in the game is like that, where it's this goat rolls down the hill with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's dumb and awesome. Like why would you ever add that? But also it adds this level of interest to the game that would not be there if they weren't adding some of those really cool details.
Yep. Like, I expect nothing because I am always surprised.
Yeah.
Every corner I turn, I'm surprised by something new.
I love the fact that we were all on voice chat and literally all we were saying to each other for like 2 hours was, what the hell is that?
Yep.
And then like, oh my gosh.
Oh shit.
And then, where's this turtle?
Where are you hiding?
But it's just constantly, that was what we were saying.
Here's a little direction.
Direction?
I have a question.
Okay.
A little direction for the conversation. Let's talk about another aspect of the multiplayer portion of the game. The messaging system.
Sure.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Well, why do you want to talk about it?
Because I love it. Here's why I love it. Let me convince you all.
Okay, convince
me. I really think it is another character in the game, that it is a part of the world itself. And so, like, practically, I get pissed off when I'm running from two knights in a tall divine tower where I'm definitely underleveled and I'm trying to get to the ladder. And I click the action button, and instead of going down the ladder, I read a message about try finger butthole, and it's really frustrating. But it's like another enemy in the environment to overcome.
It's an enemy? We've gone from it's a character to it's an enemy.
Sure. But at times it's like a valuable NPC. Where it, like, I'll just read a message and be like, hey, no item ahead. And it's like, okay, I don't have to, like, go around this cliff face because this is like an upgraded message where it's like, yeah, there's no item here, right? Like, nobody's putting no item here where there are items, because that's not funny.
Yeah.
But it is funny when you put a message like right next to a ladder, next to an enemy that you're trying to run past. It is funny when you run into 700 messages all in different locations, right in front of a wall that says hidden area, secret path. And you're like, maybe this is it.
Maybe this is
swing,
the one.
And I we found it. And you swing your sword and it goes clank. You're like, no, you got me again. Like, that's funny.
You say it's a character. I would agree if that character is a 13-year-old boy on the internet.
Yeah. 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 I love it. Like, there have been enough moments where it's like, oh, this is actually a helpful message that, like, I can take people getting chuckles out of, like, putting dog next to every animal in the game. Sure. Like, it's funny. It's, I think it's like a part of the like Elden Ring community that I've been online with.
Sure.
It's like, hey, we're in the game together, shitposting and like making memes.
Sure.
So like, I'll die a dozen times to messages if it means like,
I mean, I
that
really
community
think,
lives on.
I feel like it's like the internet incarnate. It's what the messages are. If you think of it as a character, that's what I feel like it is every single time.
Sure. And like, right, the game explains it as like other tarnished explore, you know, or whatever, like exploring the world. I'm like, that's fine. Like, sure. You know, that like, okay. So if that's the explanation you need, like, that's not necessarily a strong one, but like, I'll take the good with the bad for all of the humor and joy that I like brings everyone to do those messages.
Sure.
Brian, tell me why I'm wrong.
Because they're annoying and stupid. All I can think of when I see one of those messages is that 13-year-old boy posting dumb crap. Like, that's, and it pulls me out of the game. It pulls me out of like this area that I'm trying to explore and figure out. All I see is this message that's sitting over in this corner that I'm like, some idiot posted that there, and if I try and go over and read it, it's gonna say something stupid. And
and sure enough,
yep there it is.
No item here.
I think the dumbest one I saw is there's this guy sitting in a chair in the middle of this field, and there's this message, because it also shows the character that...
Right, you can give the animation,
like,
right?
And it says, time for head, and it's this guy kneels down in front of the guy sitting in the chair. I'm just like, this is... I am not in this game anymore. You have just removed me from this game permanently. This is now all I can think of
anytime
I see these messages.
How do you think that incorporates into the storytelling that's from Software
trying to
give with this guy who's dead in a field in a chair?
We need to go deep into the sexual prowess of the tarnished.
And here we are. If you're the guy who wrote that message and you did that in Elden Ring, please leave us a comment on this video, or you can tweet at us at 3PlayCast.
I really hope we get a lot of messages that just say, try finger, butthole. I like, listen, yes, 13-year-old boys. But as a teacher of the English language, the ingenuity that people
there
come
is
up with,
some very ingenuity, whatever,
to,
however you make that a verb or
to
adjective.
Like, to use the super limited communication system to just create, like, really, right, like, time for head, like, fantastic. I love it. You both convinced me to love it more.
I do like that if I'm struggling with something, I can go around and read a couple messages and it can be like, okay, this gives me some tips to try out. Great. Mm-hmm. What I would love is a way to only turn off messages.
Sure.
Instead of having to turn off all online content want to do that.
Let me ask you guys this question, because I think our playthroughs have been very, very different to this point.
Sure.
Because I am only using magic for the most part.
Yeah.
Which I think has like it's a I think it's I've had game. To play the game completely different than you guys. So I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on what playing through this with Melee is like? Because for me, Magic, I'm like I like having to manage like my two flasks is such like a bind. Like, because I know I have to have enough magic resource to actually, like,
kill
anything. Yeah. Whereas I also then am, like, sacrificing, like, the ability to heal myself, like, completely.
It really is, like, I think a testament to, like, the balance of the game. That, like, when you're leveling your character, you are concerned about your mana. Mm-hmm. And probably your dexterity, because that I haven't confirmed it, but well, in Dark Souls 3 and maybe the other ones, dexterity was tied to your casting speed. So you actually cast faster with a higher dex. Well, so you should check that. I meant to talk to you about that, but you're definitely worried about like your intelligence, your mana, whatever.
I'm just playing on hard mode.
Well, no, you're just playing different, right? Like, I'm not putting any points into intelligence, or I'm putting all my points into, like, health, endurance, and strength, and, like, a little bit in dex. And, like, I've got some incantations I'm casting, just, like, fireball and this rock fan attack, just for some variations. Like, well, I want to use my magic because it's, like, a free resource for me, but for you, it's, like, the resource. But you're not as worried about health. Because you're hopefully sitting farther back and killing stuff.
Yes, it makes... I don't know. For me, I feel like playing through with all the magic has been really hard.
Sure.
Like, which I think is the opposite of what I've heard on other Dark Souls games, where, like, Dark Souls games previously, like, you just blow things up. This, I've been like, I have no magic left. I'm gonna die. All I can do is 20 points of damage with this mace. It gets so bad.
See, I'm trying to do a dex build and ranged. So I finally got a whip, which is what I've been going after, which is like kind of a medium range weapon. Mm-hmm. And I can keep good distance and spacing from enemies and use the whip, which is great. So kind of my tactic is I get close enough that I can snipe them a few times with an arrow, whittle them down as they come towards me, and then whip them when they get close.
Whip them good.
Whip them good. And that's been working really well.
Yeah.
It seems like some like crazy variation in like the actual builds you can do in this game too, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it seems like there's some more viability that they've created that maybe wasn't necessarily present in previous games.
Yeah. What do you hope for as you continue to play forward, Jordan? What are you looking for? For as far as items, what would make the game better?
I couldn't even tell you. Right. I'm looking for like I'm constantly just chasing that feeling of I'm going to ride my horse into this next area and see something that I haven't seen yet before. Right. And that's what I just hope it keeps doing over and over again. I hope that the map is bigger than I think it is. That's what I hope. And I hope that the game just keeps going for a long time. That's what I want.
Yeah, if I were just like, if I could refine that a little bit, I want the surprises. I want the unexpected to keep going for a long time, because it keeps just like tickling me and surprising me. Mm-hmm. And like, man, when I started going through like Stormveil Castle, I was like, you know, running around in there for like an hour, and I was just like, I am so freaking lost. This is a castle. I'm in a freaking castle. And that like surprised me a little bit this was one of the things that felt very different from other Dark Souls games, that like this is a big castle that's like in an open world, so like I could just leave. Man, it's just freaking masterpiece. It's just like so well done. And so like I've made some progress organizing the castle, like pathways and sites of grace and stuff. Like, right, it's still got that From Software like connectedness, and like, oh, I unlocked a door, so now these paths are connected. Yes. So that like very, I think, and I see that as like a very masterful level design. Yeah, it's just, I want to simply continue to be surprised through to the end of the game. And if they can do that, man, cheerio, you're number one.
What about you, Brian? Anything specific?
I'm hoping for a way to refine your late game build in some way. Mm-hmm. So like respecking points or, you know, being able to farm
smithing stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to farm smithing stones so you can be like, all right, instead of doing a dex build, I want to do this other thing. And then you can swap your stats and build up your other weapon. And
see, I'm the exact, I don't agree with that at all.
Really?
because if I wanted to do that, I would start the game over. And I would begin a new 80-hour journey with a new build and see how it played.
I just don't have time for that.
Me either, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, that's an interesting... Right, like, I don't think in From Software games you've been able to respec before.
In Demon's Souls, you could lose levels to the final boss.
Oh my god.
But then you're just restarting anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a give and take there, right? Like, I want that convenience, but I also like the idea that I have to live with my choices.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I gotta live with my choices in real life, every day.
Well, and also, I don't think it's that, like, farming levels, right? You can just run through and kill a bunch of enemies and collect some experience, right? Like, sure. So, I don't consider that to be, like, a crazy... like, if I wanted to just grind and get some levels, I could easily do that for a little while, right?
Yeah, just get all of your stats to 99.
Yeah, just get them all up. Then there is no build.
Perfect.
You've all become builds.
Can you do that? All builds. Is there a limit to the number of levels you can get?
Is there a level cap?
100?
Let's find out. I think we need to wrap this up now because I want to go play Elden Ring.
I agree.
So, me too.
Where do you guys think Elden Ring sits historically? When we look back on Elden Ring... 10 years from now.
Yeah. I think that Elden Ring is like a new benchmark, right? We talked about how it's not necessarily doing something super unique, but man, has it refined a lot of really good things and put its own spin on it. And right, I think I'm the farthest or like most time in the game at like 20 hours or so. Like we're all pretty early. Right? Like, there's a ton of game in front of us. So, like, 10 years, I don't know, but it's definitely in my top 10. Probably in my top 5. Maybe number 1, 2, or 3. Maybe top 3.
I think you need some distance before you can make a judgment on that, right?
Which is why I say maybe, probably.
But this is by far the best game I'm playing right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. And I just finished Sifu. Sifu's good. Sifu doesn't hold a candle to what I'm playing in Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years, Brian? Any thoughts?
I would say I prefer games that push the limit rather than set the bar, if that makes sense. This is definitely a game that sets the bar for future games and says... Yeah, you need to have this level of gameplay. And if anything in the future gets created, it's going to have to compete with this. So I agree that I think this is kind of a new level set. But at the same time, I tend to prefer games that try something new and unique. That usually don't get as much recognition, but they tend to be the things that someone else looks at and says, that was interesting, maybe not pulled off perfectly, I bet it probably fits better over here. And then that concept or that build kind of gets refined and added to. So I would say, yeah, it's probably going to be a standard for a long time.
Yeah, it's an exciting future.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you get every time you click on a three-play podcast.
I'm gonna go play Elden Ring now.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
So
if I see any of our listeners out in the world of Elden Ring, I'll summon you or be summoned or leave you fun messages against walls that are not hidden paths.
If you want to play with us, make your password 3PLA.
No, don't tell people that. Now we need a new password.
We need a new password.
Jordan, just put that, like, do the number.
Thanks for watching.
Roman numeral 3.
If you want to talk to us, leave a comment below or tweet at us at 3PLAYCAST.
If you're listening to this, we also do this on YouTube, so you can watch us make funny faces while we say inane and uncomfortable things to each other.
Usually when Billy's talking.
If you have free time in your life and have never played a From Software game, play Elden Ring. Do it for your kids. Do it now for your kids. Until next time.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you want to connect with us, feel free to leave a comment or tweet at us at 3PLAYCAST on Twitter. Brian and I will probably take your criticisms to heart, while Billy will probably outright ignore it. Hope to see you guys next week.